Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
So Spider-Man came to the rescue of Hollywood over the weekend, didn't he?
Oh, man, did it ever. People wondered, you know, especially with this Omicron variant that is hitting hard right now and shutting down theaters and places like that, if people were going to go out to go and see a movie. And, man, did they ever. Spider-Man took in $253 million domestically for its opening weekend. It took in just about $105 million just on its opening day, because they're speculating that fans wanted to get there and see the movie before all the spoilers started hitting social media, which they were everywhere. You had to really be careful if you were a fan to avoid some of those. But that made it the biggest movie opening during the entire pandemic period, made it the third biggest movie of all time, just behind Avengers Endgame and Avengers Infinity War. So any way you look at it, it was Spider-Man to the rescue this weekend, that's for sure. Encanto, the Disney animated film, came in second. West Side Story was after that. Ghostbusters Afterlife was after that. And, you know, this is the week that, you know, all the Christmas movies are coming out. There's like 10 movies coming out this week, half of them on Wednesday, half of them on Friday. So we'll deal with those as the week goes on.
Did you have to have seen the previous Spider-Man movies to enjoy this one?
I think that you probably would get a greater enjoyment if you did, because this particular movie is so wrapped up in the nostalgia and the history of the franchise. You'll definitely understand everything that's going on if you haven't seen any of the other Spider-Man movies. But if you have, you're going to have a whole bunch of jaw-dropping moments inside as they dig back for some nuggets.
Sounds good. Well, that's the good entertainment news. The bad news is more closings, theaters, right?
Yeah, in New York, it's rampant. Shows are just closing, and no word on when they're going to be reopening. The Radio City Rockettes Christmas Spectacular show, which is a longtime tradition in New York City, has shut down. They say they're not going to open back up again for the, you know, for the remainder of the season because of breakthrough COVID cases with cast and crew. Many of the Broadway shows, Hamilton and some others, have shut down until people can be cleared from testing positive with COVID. We had a couple of those in Chicago over the weekend. The CIBC Theater that had Pretty Woman the musical playing, it was supposed to play through the weekend, shut down early. They are not going to be coming back. It was a limited run anyway. But Cinderella out at the Paramount and Aurora, they canceled several of their performances over the weekend, and have also canceled their performance for this coming Wednesday. So hopefully they're going to be opening shortly after that again, because the Cinderella you know, performance, it's a really good show and perfect for the whole family. And they do require immunizations, but, you know, somebody, you know, cast or crew, somebody tested positive. So to play it safe, they've just decided to shut things down until they can see how widespread that is over there. So it's affecting every place, you know, including Chicago theaters.
Does Broadway in Chicago follow what they do in New York, pretty much?
Yes, they do, but they wouldn't shut down unless there were particular cases, unless people actually tested positive. For example, Frozen is continuing its run. That's over at the that one is over at the Cadillac Palace Theater. That's continuing to play. The Play That Goes Wrong, which is at the Broadway Playhouse, that's a Broadway in Chicago show. That's continuing its run right now. The Goodman is continuing. The Joffrey Ballet did shut down Nutcracker for a couple of days. I understand that that's back up and running again. So if you have tickets for any of these shows, I would definitely call first before you go, just to make sure, because, you know, some of these shows, they shut them down like an hour before they were supposed to perform. So it wouldn't be a terrible idea if you're holding tickets for anything over the next week or so, just to make sure that things are still up and running before you trek all the way downtown for that.
Judging by the commercials I've seen for the play That Goes Wrong, that looks like a theater that I would like, and I'm very interested in that show.
So. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, but it looks very farcy, very...
for people that don't like theater.
Yeah.
I think. And Dean, Saturday Night Live looked a little different this weekend, didn't it?
It was very quiet, I will say that much. At the last minute, this is another case of just hours before the show was going to go on the air, they canceled their live studio audience. The musical guest, who was supposed to be singer Charlie XCX, also was canceled from the show. Staff members from the show were sent home. Performers were sent home from the show out of an abundance of caution. And because of the outbreak of Omicron in New York City, Paul Rudd was scheduled to be the guest host of the night, but instead of him starting off the show, it was another veteran Saturday Night Live host.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tom Hanks.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you. I'm Tom Hanks. Thank you, surviving crew members. Tonight, everyone at Saturday Night Live planned to do our big Christmas show and induct a new member into the Five Timers Club, but COVID came early this year. So in the interest of safety, we do not have an audience, and we sent home our cast, most of our crew, but I came here from California, and if you think I was going to fly 3,000 miles and I'd be on TV, well, you got another thing coming. And I am not alone. Isn't that right, Tina?
Woo! Oh! Yeah! Rocking for myself, making the weirdness festive. Yes, I am here, and this is not the smallest audience I have ever performed for, because I have done improv in a Macy's.
Yeah, good to see you, kiddo.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Thank you for coming. Thanks for coming. I'm extremely disappointed.
Oh, yeah, I know, buddy.
Look, it's not all that bad. People Magazine just named you the most sexist man of the year.
Oh, I think it was sexiest.
Okay, yeah. Right, okay.
It's pretty big difference when they don't have a studio audience there to
Paul Rudd
punch up the jokes a little bit.
Appearance there.
Yeah. So, you know, they wound up, they showed, I guess they, you know, they videotape the rehearsal, so they showed some of the rehearsal videos that they had. They showed a lot of the old classic Christmas bits from years gone by, but... That's live television at its finest, really, when things change at the last minute like that. And, you're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. It's like when I do my tree time show every year. Same kind of thing.
And the Five Timers Club, they're referring to hosts who have done it five times there on SNL. Celebrity baby news this morning. What do you got, Dean?
Yeah, congratulations to Olivia Munn. The actress who had a baby boy with Chicago's very own John Mulaney, comedian. He made the announcement on Seth Meyers' show a couple of months ago, and apparently they welcomed a baby boy on November the 24th. Have not announced the name. Apparently, mother, child, comedian, everybody is doing just fine afterwards, so congratulations to them.
Over the years, from time to time, Kanye West has been naughty, but he certainly was nice around here last weekend, wasn't he?
Yeah, he made a really nice donation for kids in Englewood. He purchased 4,000 toys and distributed them for a Toys for Englewood event at Kennedy King Gymnasium. You know, we have there's no shortage of stuff to say about Kanye when he's doing strange things and unusual things. But I got to say, he also is extremely charitable, and he made a lovely donation for kids who would have otherwise gone without. for Thanksgiving. So let's give credit where credit is due.
And people are still buzzing about our Lucille Ball stories Friday, Dean.
Yeah, that's all people are talking about. Christmas has gone on the back burner for a lot of people now.
It's trending everywhere.
Because they, Bob and I dazzled America with our conversations of Lucille Ball. Have you seen this new Lucille Ball movie with Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem?
No, I was going to.
Marianne hasn't made you see that?
Oh, no. It's number one on her list. We were going to go to a theater, but now I think we're waiting for Amazon Prime in a week or so. But it's a must see.
Yeah. And I'm curious to see what you both think about it.
You thought it was okay?
I thought it was just okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to make it sound like it was bad. It's entertaining. I've always been a fan of the show. Always been a fan of Lucille Ball. I didn't really learn anything new that I didn't know before, and I've seen so many better impersonations of Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Hmm.
Most of them by actresses whose names I don't know, but they did a I Love Lucy spoof on Will and Grace several years ago, and Deborah Messing did Lucille Ball and completely nailed it. I thought that, you know, she, for example, might have been a better choice than Nicole Kidman, but they wanted to go with big name movie star in the role, and she was okay, but. Mm-hmm. It was just, you know, it was a fun look back behind the scenes at I Love Lucy, but nothing nearly as interesting as Bob and mine's stories of our interviews with Lucille Ball that we're thinking of turning into a screenplay.
Oh yeah,
now a lot of people have asked, maybe will this become a movie someday? And we are working on that.
Maybe Marianne and I should have played Lucy and Desi, except she's Cuban.
Yeah, like the reverse. That's the perfect spinoff.
We'll work on that.
That is the perfect spinoff, really.
More tomorrow. Thank you, Dean.
See you then.